When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, hey, hey. It is July 30th, 2024. Welcome to the Wrestling Inc. podcast, Great American Bash, week one, NXT on Sci-Fi.
Sure.
Likely
is
a challenging week ratings-wise, but an excellent show with a lot of wrestling, a little bit of story. I know people love the multiverse these days, and the MSK Rascals connection growing even stronger, looking like there might be some things happening there. Yeah. Do you think they tip their hand that because their wrestling is MSK, that they're winning from Fraxium these tag titles, but they'll defend them as Rascals on TNA?
I'm pretty sure. If not even that, it's the whole, dude, what are you doing defending our titles or signing contracts and stuff? We'll get to that later on.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Before we dive into NXT, Flobo, what's going on in the news?
Before we get to the news, how are you doing as a human being there, Glenn? I mean, it's been a couple days, you know, it's SummerSlam week. How are you feeling?
I'm doing okay. I'm going out of town this weekend. Ooh. But no, I got to go see family. I will watch SummerSlam from afar. Like I will not. Yes, I will not be podcasting about, but I believe you will this Saturday.
Yes, I am. Looks like George Hermosa and I will be covering the SummerSlam after show right here on Wrestling Inc. Thank you so much, though, for asking for these PLE/pay-per-view after shows. And so George and I will make sure that we give you the best part of my favorite pay-per-view of the year, PLE of the year.
Right. Yeah, SummerSlam. It's going to be a big week for WWE.
Mm-hmm. But let's get into the news, as you said. Top story here based on the Wrestling Inc. news desk. By the way, check out WrestlingInc.com for all your news and notes about professional wrestling. Mako Satomura is a pending retirement. We announced this on Friday after show for SmackDown. That Mako Satomura is officially saying, I'm done with it. I'm hanging up the boots or putting the boots in the middle of the ring. We do see a little bit of a tour kind of happening the last couple months of her deciding to retire in April. The question now becomes, how do you think she will be used in those final months before she hangs them up for good?
I mean, I would have liked to have seen this match on Peacock or SummerSlam or SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Baron Bailey.
Her and Bailey wrestling in Japan the other night.
You might get that on some level, like some kind of like, it's what you missed, losers, you know?
Well, I'm assuming she didn't win. But it's cool, though. It's cool they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I think the NXT UK final boss run should be studied, you know what I mean? Because like NXT UK just says they do the WWE thing, like cutting off what she's done before, but still references that, and still she became a really imposing figure in that division. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, although I don't know. Can you study NXT UK? How far do you have to dig deep on Peacock to find NXT UK these days?
It's still there. I'm crossing fingers. It's still there. Obviously skip 2020, right? Because it's all recap shows. Yeah. But from 18 to 19 and then from 22 to the end, 21 to the end is pretty much like two different kinds of cinema, you know?
Yeah. No, I think she's great. I hope she gets more opportunities to work in front of the larger WWE audience.
Yeah. Would you have her go through SmackDown? Not SmackDown. SummerSlam or War Games or WrestleMania? Is Mako Satomura's run worthy of a WrestleMania match, you think?
I mean, I would love it if they give her something big, but this is WWE, so I'm going to hold out hope for SmackDown, a couple SmackDown matches or Raw matches, and settle for a banger or two in NXT.
Fair enough.
This is WWE.
It is. But it's also Mikko Satomura. I know. Mayon Classic, man.
I know. But they don't... I don't know. It's very interesting time for the women's rosters on Raw and SmackDown right now.
Go on.
No, it seems that, you know, they're really pushing major storylines, and they're finally getting at the point where they're pushing secondary storylines, but that tends to be more in the tag division or less about wrestling, more about story, comedy. I feel like, thank God for Jade and Bianca, because even though they're not the tag team champions currently, having them in that tag team division for women gives that much more, the most prominence, that even more prominence than it had when Ronda and Shayna were tagging together.
If you think so.
You don't think so?
I now have the biggest problem with Jade and Bianca tagging. I think it's a cool idea on paper, but they were slotted into theoretically the weakest division of all of North American wrestling. That's saying something.
All of North American wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, that is a bold statement.
It is a hot take. Actually, go. It's pretty warm. It's like picante. It has a kick to it.
Did you watch them on Truth or Dab on Hot Ones?
No, you mentioned that last week.
So good. Yet.
Yeah, that's what you said. He said on Friday it was so good.
Yeah, but no, Mako Satomura, I agree with Jack Farmer, lurking.
Who's that?
You know, just hanging out in the chat. Would love to see Mako Satomura get a WrestleMania moment.
Not everyone deserves one, but with two nights in a Hall of Fame, I say, why the heck not?
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'll settle for a takeover moment for an NXT PLE. For Mania would be cool.
Now, when you say takeover, since they no longer exist, does it have to be Stand and Deliver then? Or would you accept like Vengeance Day? Or
I'll take what I can get at this point.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I think, and this speaks to a problem that, again, they have this problem with NXT tonight. We saw the 6-woman tag match tonight. NXT has so much female talent, and they can't figure out how to utilize enough of that division, in my opinion.
Utilization is not the problem. I think it's differentiation is the bigger issue. I mean, there's bodies everywhere, but I saw Jasmine Nix come out in the same show as Carmen Petrovic, and I was going, oh yeah, was one with the sword, one with her friend with a face mask. There's not really much beneath that. So she surfs. I know her. Cora Jade had a skateboard at one time, and she's around. Like, I think the characterizations could be a bit more deeper, but I don't think it's an issue of being like not being a focus.
Well, I think storylines are important. I think that it's tough because what they've done, to kind of to your point, Flobo, is they've said, aha, if we can just have three women feuding with three other women and we can have 6 women in a segment, that means we're getting more of the women's division showcased. But I would argue that it's actually creating issues sometimes with differentiation that you get in a single storyline or even a tag storyline. And I think NXT, for as strong as that division is, they've kind of short-term memory loss maybe on how important it is to be toyetic in how you present characters. Carmen Petrovic, the sword's great. She should always be wearing the Kill Bill suit and going somewhere with the sword, because you immediately recognize that. And she stands out. In fact, with Sol Ruka showing up to tag with Carmen and Sol having changed her hair even, I was like, that was one of the things that made Sol stand out, was the wavy hair.
Yeah, like she's on the beach, apparently.
She's on the beach. She just came from the beach. But no, I think that the more we can do, and we've heard wrestlers talk about this, male or female, or non-binary, your goal as a wrestler should be the instant somebody sees you on screen, they immediately recognize you and know who you are.
I agree.
We've given up. The ship has sailed on having an instantly recognizable theme song. Since Def Rebel took over, that ain't happening.
Whoa. What's with the Def Rebel hate, man? I know it's cool and hip with the kids to make fun of Def Rebel, but come on. There's some good bangers in there.
How many times do you hear a theme song start? The Royal Rumble is the example. The theme song started and you're like, I have no clue who this is.
The Royal Rumble is the only time I go, okay, that's a problem. Like, it really is a problem. But as far as the individual themes, they're crafted. I kind of wish they, if I had the pen at WWE, I think it's like catering. No matter how good a caterer is, if there's one caterer doing everything every week, it gets kind of boring. I just kind of wish I had two or three different teams that kind of picked and chose from. But as far as the individual production, it's actually the best it's been in years.
Okay.
Moving on.
Moving on. What else is going on in the news?
Well, follow this into things that happened that really isn't our business, but Blair Davenport and Riley Osborne tie the knot. If you've been watching the Instagrams or the news wires, but Blair Davenport and Riley Osborne are away from the storylines in real life, or somehow husband and wife, because true love is in the air. Photographs are available on the internet. Glenn, how was your wedding, man? Did you do the courthouse thing? Did you do the giant splashy thing? What was it?
We were married in a public square, which was nice in wine country. Like it was nice. It was by like a pond and there's greenery. And it was lovely. And you know what it costs to get married in wine country in this public square?
If it's a public square, $0?
Yeah, it was like $15 for the permit.
Wait, $15 for a public square? What's the point of the square then?
You still got to get a permit.
That's crap. That's like having a house and paying an HOA. I'm still renting then.
You know what it is? It's like, have you ever done this in the park where you have to like reserve the gazebo or the barbecue area? You do this so you have claim. So that way when you have, you know, your wedding that you send all these invites for, you do it so you could say like, I paid for this, I reserved it. So people can't say, hey, sorry, bro, we're playing Ultimate here today. Ultimate Frisbee, maybe you've heard of it. Like, it's so you could protect. I don't know why I chose Ultimate. No disrespect to Ultimate.
All disrespect to Ultimate.
Players, but,
in fact, it's called Ultimate. And like, it's called Ultimate Frisbee, and they decide not to say the Frisbee part and be like, I'm playing Ultimate.
And here I grew up thinking the Ultimate was when you asked your mom for Adidas and she bought you Zips. You need to pay a fee to lay claim to your reservation.
Lay claim? Do you have a piece of paper you wave in people's faces?
Well, I mean, if you had to. It was lovely. It was a very cost-effective wedding. Did Blair and Riley get married in the NXT parking lot? Given the
I should hope not. What the permits for that?
How's it working out with Blair on the main roster?
She
had that gift in NXT. She was the parking lot attacker.
Yeah, but that doesn't really work on the main roster, I suppose. I'm not really sure who Blair Davenport is. Like, it was subtle in NXT UK that she was like this long family of like old money that used to fight and do stuff, you know, like Skull and Bones type deal.
Oh, interesting.
And I like the whole idea of her being the terrorist of the park a lot. But yeah, the main roster, she's kind of a person who goes, I don't like you. And then just beats up people, Naomi in particular.
There you go. What else is going on?
Well, this one here has a little bit of backstory. So coming up tomorrow on the WWE 2K24 DLC, Pat McAfee and the rest of the looky loos from the Pat McAfee show are going to be downloadable characters. But it seems a community who plays WWE 2K24 and other games wasn't that impressed. They were like, look, man, we don't really want this. You want DLC from NXT superstars. And so there was a bit of chatter, a little bit of jaw-jacking back and forth, being like, hey, look, we're stars on a world-famous ESPN show. Nobody wants to play with ESPN nobodies. Carmen Petrovic got involved and said, look, people want to play with wrestlers, actual wrestlers. Shawn Michaels steps in and goes, you know what? Four of my NXT students or sons or daughters or whatever against you guys in the Pat McAfee show, book it. So is it a shoot? Is it a work? We don't know. But that said, there is a DLC of the Pat McAfee show and his co-host coming out tomorrow.
There you go. I mean, I don't know. It's a choice. Maybe this will work. Maybe they'll start featuring podcasters.
I mean, Pat McAfee is one, right?
Yeah, but wrestling podcasters. Maybe Flobo, someone will create me, you, and Jack for community creations.
Jack creates himself every year. That's a true story.
Okay. What's his wrestler name?
Or is Jack Benevolence. And download him today. That's good times. You're totally going to unfollow me on social media saying that.
I need to load back up the latest WWE game. As many of you know, the Xbox 360 Marketplace just shut down yesterday.
That is true. But I just got a Series X like 2 weeks ago. So,
I was, and you know what was a weird coincidental timing of this? With the rise of Fortnite Festival, there's now plastic guitars being sold again that work with current systems. So I was like, oh, I need to liberate all my old Rock Band, Rock Band 2, Rock Band 3 content, get Rock Band 4 for $10 on the Xbox Series X, export it all over, hook up my, you know, new guitar. Like, it's weird. It's weird to go back and play those games. It's hard to believe the Rock Band series, like the original Guitar Hero, was almost 20 years ago.
That to me blows my mind. Because I remember, what was it, 2008, 2009, when the first DJ Hero came out, and I was like, this is the game changer. A DJ simulation game? It's so cool. And then I realized I was the only person who bought a copy. But that was, 15 years ago, if you can believe it.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy when in like a year or two, like this year, the Killers' first album is 20 years old.
Is that Sam's Town? No, before.
No,
the Killers.
Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, Hot Fuzz, yeah.
But like next year, like Paramore's first record is 20 years old.
And if
We get to like 2007, 2008, like Drake's first, actually 20 years ago, Drake was selling mix CDs when you PayPal'd his Hotmail address.
Oof.
Still got that CDR.
I remember, what was it, 12 years ago when Gangnam Style came out? It came in my iPod today. I was like, oh, I remember when Gangnam Style came out. It was a big deal.
Yeah, man,
we're all old.
We're all old. But that's what, isn't it weird when you think about that's the stuff that's 20 years ago?
You know, when I was a kid, and this is kind of a weird thing, my parents would say things like just the other day, but it was like years in the past. And I'm like, what are you, losing your mind? But I'm at that age where the other day is 3 years ago. You know what I mean? A pandemic was, 5 years ago now?
Yeah. The first Killers album to now is the same amount of time as 1984 to the first Killers album.
The actual year or the book?
The actual year.
Yeah, hey man, look, I'm trying to help you out, brother.
I know. The year 2024 to the year 2000, same amount of time as 1976 to the year 2000.
Yeah, what is time, man? I mean, the pandemic did break that a bit, but really, like, you get old or older, and then time just speeds up, and that's it.
It's crazy. Relative perception. Anyhow, what else is going on in the news?
That's it for the news desk. Look more for your news and updates at WrestlingInc.com, your premier choice for wrestling news and rumors.
So Julian Floyd says, saw Bayley versus Mako Satomura live, and it was amazing. It ended with Bayley hitting the rose plant. Mako KO'd Tiffany Stratton to stop her from cashing in.
That's kind of funny, actually.
That is funny.
Tiffy time.
Yes, everybody loves Tiffy time.
Okay, Made by Dawn says, I worked through the pandemic. I'm a nurse. It was not nice in 2020 for me. No days off, no vacation, no overtime. Thank you so much for your dedication. Seriously. My mom's a nurse. She's a registered nurse for 40 years, Brooklyn Hospital. What you do, which is amazing. So, shout out to you, Made by Dawn.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I hope you're hanging in there now. I hear COVID's making a comeback. Like disco.
Disco left?
That was the commercial. Do you remember that commercial? Sorry, I don't mean to compare COVID to disco. This is weird. Hear me out on this. But in the 90s.
You started it.
Do you remember that compilation? Like, I love disco, and I hear it's making a comeback.
Nope.
Yeah. Yes, Baby Ice. Maybe I should throw a party for the 20th anniversary of Step Up.
Whoa. Oh, you're saying Step Up. I was thinking You Got Served. Never mind.
Okay, You Got Served is on cable. I've seen You Got Served so many times. And that is the 20th anniversary You Got Served, isn't it?
You know, if I was somebody who was like, who's watching this? It's definitely Glenn Rufus. You got
What's
served,
wrong with
bro.
Yeah, okay, they barely say it in the movie. I will say the South Park parody incorporates it better than the actual movie. They barely say You Got Served in the movie.
Hey, man, I never thought defending So You Got Served on our bingo card in this show, but I respect it.
Poor little saint. Okay, I'm just taking a moment of silence.
Absolutely.
Yes. Anyhow, anything else in the news?
That's it, man.
Okay. Why did they ever make, a sequel to You Got Served? Or was it like a direct DVD thing that like had none of the original cast?
I would think that would be totally directing to DVD.
Step Up, the sequels are amazing, except for they're connected, which is what's great about them. I don't know if you've watched the whole Step Up series. like Step Up One,
like somebody that watched the whole Step Up series.
Okay, dude, Step Up series is great. Let me just quick refresh for people that haven't been watching this podcast for very long. In the first Step Up,
they're gonna leave after this. That's what
when you watch it. Channing Tatum's in it, and you're like, is this like a 21 Jump Street thing? Like where he's like 30, because he looks 30 and he's going to high school.
Yeah.
Okay. In the first Step Up, but then Step Up Two, same school, new characters. Step Up Three, some of the supporting characters from Step Up Two go to New York. Step Up Four, it's in Miami, but there's like one or two characters. And then Step Up Five, they've realized that Step Up is like the Fast and the Furious series. And Step Up Five features characters from all the Step Up movies coming together for a dance competition in Vegas.
I thought you were going to say they're going to be a counter-terrorism unit on cars. I was like, yo, sign me up Step Up 5 if they're driving then.
No, but okay, let me tell you the reason why Step Up 4 is great is Step Up 4 starts with all these cars pulling up and you think, oh, it's like a Fast and Furious heist situation. And then it turns out they're doing a flash mob protest dance. But they treat it like it's a heist. You have to watch the opening scene to Step Up 4. That should sell you on the series.
Is it a comedy? No, it's not a comedy.
There's comedy in it, but it is a dance film. There's like dance numbers. But in 4, at one point they say, what is it? I can't remember the line.
You tell me, man.
Oh, we need to stop doing performance art and start doing protest art. Like actual line in 4, because an evil developer is trying to demolish the neighborhood to build like a resort. So it's like Breaking 2 where they're trying to save the community center, which you should be able to get behind that.
What in the Hallmark movie basic ass plot is?
It's great.
Evil great. Developers so are nice good. People too. They have jobs and sales targets they have to hit. They're not all evil, Glenn.
Well, and Flobo, I don't know if you're going to see this twist coming or not. But the developer, played by Peter Gallagher, his daughter is a classically trained dancer, and she gets involved with one of the street dancers who's doing the protests.
So basically, this guy's doing this job so he can afford to send his daughter to dance school, and she's using it to thwart him. This is awful.
It's amazing. And Step Up 3 was in 3D and has an amazing, the final dance sequence in Step Up 3 is insane. It's so good.
Who writes for this?
These movies write themselves in a pre-AI environment. I'm telling you, you should watch these. Flobo, you will like these movies.
I can almost assure you that I will not.
No, they're so good. They're so good. Okay, let's talk about NXT and the Great American Bash.
Please.
I'm gonna do a limited podcast at one point, just for me, where I break down each Step Up movie and talk about the trivia. And you know, it's been going on long enough. We're almost, it should be time any day now for Step Up the Next Generation.
You know what? I'm a clown this, but it might be the most lucrative thing you ever come up with, though.
Really good. There's a character named Moose that's in it. He's in many of them. He's beloved. Wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. Okay. Great American Bash. Week one of two. No dance contests. It's been a while since we had a dance off in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they solve their problems with violence.
Well, that's the job, right? No?
It is a wrestling show, yes. Yeah. Okay. So we open with the Unholy Union, a name that it's Isla Dawn and Alba Fire, defending their WWE Women's Tag Team Championship against Lash Legend and Chikara Jackson. In Flobo, were you surprised that Isla and Alba won and retained their titles?
No, I thought that release would get an appearance of Jade and Bianca, but I was like, silly Flobo, then I would come down to Tuesday nights just for my own benefit. But the match itself is pretty solid. I'm with you though. I'm not really sure if they're no longer doing the spooky stuff, whether or not Unholy Union still fits for them. It just seemed like they just beat people up. I know, I mean, not really out of the pale, but the match itself was pretty solid. Talked about how Last Legend has pretty much stepped up on her side. Chikara Jackson is fantastic in selling. So I like this one all around.
This was really good, but did they announce, so it's not happening at SummerSlam, but are Bianca and Jade getting their rematch against Alba and Isla on SmackDown Friday?
I believe it's a SmackDown before.
Okay.
But if it's a Smaz, I can also see it rolling over.
Yeah, that's kind of a shame. I think Jade and Bianca, I mean, SummerSlam's got like 7 matches.
Yeah. Right. Well, Well, that seven's kind of a high watermark for WWE these days. And let's be real, as much as we like Bianca and Jade as a package, this actual storyline's kind of not cold, but out of nowhere.
It's a little light.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day themed kit where people could make unicorn horn shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles even without the kit and get top tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. But what do you think? I thought Lash and Jakar did a really good job in this match. This was really competitive. They never got me to suspend disbelief as to who was winning, but I thought it was a very fun competitive match to open the show.
Metaphor is definitely going through some changes, and we'll get to what happens after this match, and that's absolutely true. But Jakar and Lash have a chemistry that is actually gelling over time.
Yeah, I think they're really good. And after this match, we had Ethan Page come out, and then Oro Mensah attacked Ethan Page.
Ego.
I mean, they're really trying to keep something going until Trick wins that back the first week on the CW.
Whoa, Trick winning it back? Really? You think so?
You don't think Trick's getting that title back?
Nope.
Really?
I think Trick Williams is a one-time NXT champion.
I am very surprised by that.
I do think he gets called up next year. If you want me to do a fantasy book, I think he's called up next year. I think he's kind of going to be like that 8:30 or 9 p.m. match, an hour one main event guy. Just the blood feuds, the fun feuds, the dressing down. So you can be one of the guys without having to be the guy to get back some of his confidence and some of his swagger post Carmelo. And then when he gets drafted, he'll be his own person, his own man, not tied to that championship.
I mean, Carmelo is not crushing it on the main roster.
He's not. But you look at Trick Williams and it's like, remember that time he had that thing with Carmelo? That was great. He needs another one of that in his own jersey. He needs another story in his growth that say, yeah, the Carmelo stuff was great, but this feud with whatever is going to be great too. I don't think it's Ethan Page.
Well, interestingly enough, we did have a video from Pete Dunne aimed at Trick Williams.
I'm glad this happened. I know we're jumping around here because he attacks Sheamus one Monday and on Tuesday attacks Trick Williams. I'm like, what gives, man? But it makes sense. They address Butch, how it was dumb, but he went by it. They address Although, if you want to retcon something, basically it told the Brawling Brutes were young friends from school growing up, which isn't the case at all because Pete Dunne's British and Sheamus is Irish. But they address Butch. They address that Sheamus kind of went his own thing, Ridge went his own thing, and he's young and bitter. Now we know what YXB means. I mean, to me, that promo did like four or five things at once. And Pete Dunne, though he's never won the NXT championship, can very much well be the next number one contender for a long time.
I mean, I think it's a good feud. I think it's good for Trick. But I'm telling you, man, I think this is about getting Trick some more seasoning. He beats Pete. He's going to have another feud to further boost his credibility, build out the story, and then he wins back Ethan Page night one on the CW.
Okay. If it happens, I'm not going to be upset. Don't get me wrong. I'm not like, oh, crap. But you think like about
10 weeks.
But you think about the crowd interaction and Booker T giving the whole Trick Williams thing. That is something you can separate. If I'm playing the show by segments, I go, I need a hot opening match, maybe the women's division or the NXT title division. I need a hot main event, maybe a tag division. I need something that number one hour that makes you go, stick around for that. And I think that's going to be Trick Williams. He's going to be that hour one main event guy. Not a bad thing. Rusev Day was there. Seth Rollins was there. Finn Balor, pre-Judgment Day, was there. You can really use that spot to your advantage. I don't think he's going to be the champ. I just don't.
Okay. We did have Cedric Alexander giving some advice to wrestlers backstage. Sean Spears walks in and makes it clear he doesn't think Cedric's advice is worth listening to, and they've gotten to it. And that led to Brooks Jensen appearing and getting in Cedric's face, challenging them to a match later tonight. It's interesting. Cedric and Sean. I mean, look, in real life, yes, there's mentoring they could do to Performance Center students, right? They are teachers in the game. They've been through this on the independents, but it's like looking at their individual records in professional wrestling. Like, this is not like John Cena coming back and, you know, sitting at the learning tree.
The learning tree. I actually like this cool, calm Cedric.
He looks great.
Yeah, absolutely. Like late Very period Dolph Ziggler. Like, hey kid, I don't book the shows. This is what it is. I like that. I like Sean Spears doing that. Brooke Jensen kind of getting mad for mad's sake, but you know what? I think Brooks is somebody I think would have been written off a year ago, and the fact he's still in the mix has a lot about what he can do.
Between Brooks and Briggs, it seemed like Briggs was getting the push, and I'm like, well, I guess Brooks is just going to, you know, go back to hang out and catering. They gave Brooks Jensen. I mean, let's talk meta for a second about this. Like, out of kayfabe, they gave Brooks an amazing storyline doing the reality bending thing. They're giving him matches. Like, they clearly believe in him, which I think is very interesting. I'm not saying he's not talented. It's just that Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs, their biggest storyline prior to this was the Fallon Henley, Kiana James. And that was largely played for comedy. They were largely supporting characters in Fallon versus Kiana.
I think what we're seeing is Brooke Jensen adopting Josh Briggs's character while Josh Briggs is trying to find himself, right? Mm-hmm. This is literally the man of mayhem that they try to give to Briggs, but Brooks plays it a little bit more unhinged because he looks a bit unkempt, looks more like an everyman.
And the facial hair.
The facial hair, but I mean, he's not, I'm not saying he's not fit, but he's a bit more stockier than his counterparts, doesn't have the size. So, like, I get that. But now it leaves Briggs without who he is, and he has to find out what that's going to be. And that's interesting because if this was Stand and Deliver, I would have bet the farm on Briggs of being the next guy post-Corbin to be the big man in that division. But Oba rose, and that pretty much has been a lock, and no one's hit that level ever since.
That is interesting. I didn't think about the Briggs. Briggs is kind of like Corbin 2.0 with his look, his attire. But he doesn't have the charisma.
He could.
Good. He needs to lose all his money, go to Vegas and win it back.
Be a lone wolf.
Baron Corbin, low-key, is one of the best comedic actors in WWE.
Yeah, timing's impeccable. Take that, Triple H. Triple H was never funny. Never funny. Never.
So we had Tony D'Angelo versus Tavion Heights, the family and the NQCC. for the NXT Heritage Cup. They explained the rules again. I think I understand them more now.
Really? It's been like 5 years. You can't. Are you trolling me?
Look, when you do a match and the first thing you open with is an entire screen full of text explaining.
They do that for the Rumble as well. Don't give me that. Don't do that for the Rumble. They do that for the Rumble. In the Bank Ladder match. Do that for Survivor Series. Don't give me that.
Man enters or woman enters every 3 minutes.
That's the rules. You said if they show the rules before, it sucks.
No.
I hate Survivor. I hate War Games for that reason.
It was an entire like wall of text on my TV screen.
What's War Games? War Games is the same crap. It's a whole wall of text. I don't understand
War Games. War Games just like they're gonna fight until it's over.
You don't understand War Games. We're on like 34 years, man. Like if you don't know now, it's the match beyond blood and guts. Come on.
Yes, it's made by Don Singh. I'm thinking this is for the Olympics, the Heritage Cup. A lot of people don't understand the Heritage Cup, but Tony D'Angelo retained.
He did
after a competitive match.
Yeah.
The family triumphant.
So we have a show, Jack and I, called Draped in Gold. And on Draped in Gold, I ask him, what's wrong with the Heritage Cup today? And when it was on NXT UK, not saying NXT UK was like the best place for it, but because they kind of relied on the history of British rounds wrestling, it made sense. So now you have this similarly British thing in the US held by a family member. And even Vic Joseph's like, yeah, so here's the rules and let's go. And it's like, it stops momentum of a show because it doesn't have any of the heritage you would think it would be in part of a Heritage Cup.
There's new heritage.
But that doesn't work.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. It's a very interesting.
Maybe I'd stop it.
Nobody understands. Yeah, and maybe I don't say that. On the NXT, the Heritage was the secondary title. I mean, they're using it. It gives Tony D something to do.
Yes. I think it has to be a secondary title. It cannot be a third-level title because, for example, this is the problem I have with AEW, right? Like, if I am a wrestler and I'm not going for the World Championship, what's my motivation to go for the TNT title over the international title? International title actually looks like a better championship, does it not? Mm. So you have the Heritage Cup. Yeah, there's a Heritage Cup. But if I have to wrestle more with rounds and I can not pin someone with a round in story, I would just say, screw this. I'm going for the North American title. I think that's what's happening with NXT right now. It doesn't seem very important.
It's like the hardcore championship or the FTW title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's prestigious. And Tony D'Angelo is a man of prestige, if nothing else.
I guess.
And legitimate business.
Yeah.
Good match, though.
Tavion, for sure.
Yeah, Tavion had a nice showing. So, after that, Brooks Jensen versus Cedric Alexander. And very nice moment. Brooks with a Jimmy Rave t-shirt. Of course, Jimmy, wrestler that passed away. Was it 2 years ago now? It was nice seeing Brooks with that. Were you surprised that Cedric won this match?
I was. I was writing notes down. I was like, oh, Cedric loses again. Oh, he didn't. But you know what? Give him some 50-50 booking. If he's going to be someone who's like the light, the dark of Sean Spears, then you got to build him up as well. So that's the story. I'm on board with that because Cedric Alexander is somebody who's never had a storyline, save for the Hurt Business, his entire run in WWE. Can he emote as a character? We're going to find out now.
Yes.
Do you agree or don't? You're like, all right.
I'm just like, wait, Cedric was in the Hurt Business? I'm like, oh yeah, he was.
He was. It's a pandemic storyline. Don't worry about it.
A lot of those blur together.
Yeah, Retribution, Ted DiBiase, Ding Dong Hello. Like, it's all just the giant ball. Dexter Lumis, remember that guy?
He looked so different last night.
Yeah.
I wonder how Indy's taking it.
Are they still married?
I mean, I think they need to address this.
Impressive.
Video on Javon Evans, 20 years old.
Bouncy. So I think a lot of old boomers like myself would be like, Javon Evans, I don't get it. What's his thing? He's just a Gen Z alpha crap. But look, every 5 years, 10 years, you get that one competitor who's like, I'm happy to be here. And yeah. Whether when I was a kid, it was Molly Holly, then it was Bailey. Now you got Javon Evers, the guy who's happy to be here, telling teachers to suck it, like all of us growing up on trampolines.
And now he's trespassing on trampolines.
Hey, man, that's my hero.
He's very likable.
Yeah.
And then we had an edition of the Rascals Treehouse on NXT.
With laugh track.
With a laugh track, but no marijuana.
Whoa, why would there be marijuana in the treehouse? Whoa.
It's a PG show.
Yeah, it's legal in Florida, I think. Is it legal in Florida? I don't know.
This was a good segment, but yeah, they're challenging as MSK, they're challenging for the tag team championships. Is Nash back? You think Nash is going to be back under contract with NXT?
Zach Wentz, because he changed his name apparently. I would hope so, just for the sake of getting this done. But it seems very clearly that they are collectively a TNA loan project.
I can't figure it out. So MSK is in theory going to win these tag team championships off Axiom, but I bet you they're going to show up with those championships on TNA and defend them there as well as the Rascals.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're Rascals first. They're Rascals first, unless it's two of them in an NXT match.
Yeah. I mean, wheels are in motion for this to happen next week.
Yeah.
If this match closes the show, or is it the, if it opens, closes, or is it the midpoint? If it's in either of those three slots, they're winning. And who knows? It could close. I think there's more heat behind this than Ethan defending his title. I think there's more heat behind this than Trick and Pete Dunne.
I would say on star power alone, Pete Dunne, Trick Williams is pretty much a main event. The show opens with the men's title, and then at 9 o'clock you get the MSK match.
But if they win and it's like at Rascals MSK and they're like, we're taking this to the next TNA pay-per-view, like that is going to be the number one thing people talk about.
Absolutely. Yeah. But the thing is about NXT is even though they've been leaning in the TNA stuff, and we'll talk about Joe Hendry in a minute, I think it's almost like a security blanket for them by having a show end with a proven commodity like Pete Dunne. I go back to Backlash 23. You had Bad Bunny. That was the best match of the night, but it wasn't the main event because in case it didn't work out, you had something else afterwards.
Well, didn't last week pop a really good rating when they main evented?
Absolutely, it did. But let's be honest, that was kind of a filler episode of NXT, was it not? Mm-hmm.
But it was exciting. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for this. I'm very excited for this next week. Joe Hendry performed for the NXT Universe singing a song about Gallus.
Yeah.
And then Gallus interrupted.
Meanies.
I mean, it's funny that Joe Hendry is doing more to get Gallus over in the U.S. than anything else.
Yeah, they're all rising tides.
Yeah. Good for Joe Hendry, though.
You're not impressed with this concert?
I thought the song was okay. I mean, did you think it was his best song?
I mean, no, but the material wasn't really there.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's kind of hard to... Kind of hard to do a diss track about somebody that nobody knows.
I mean, like, I think if I had to make a diss track over AJ Francis, I would find a lot more funny stuff than Gallus. And I mean, it's like,
why'd you go there with AJ?
Because he did the concert with AJ last month.
Yeah, I know. But AJ is much better known, has more, I don't know. One, it's good for AJ because AJ... very gifted lyricist in his own right.
That's what I'm saying, right? If I was doing a diss track against a lyricist, that'd be fun. But like, if I'm doing a diss track against Mark Coffey, you're Scottish and you smell. Boy, like it's just.
It's why LL versus Cannabis works so well.
Oh man, that's a thinking man's feud right there.
And then Clef had to release his own track and get into it.
It was a bloodbath.
Something. So we'll see how this feud turns out. This you know, I hope this helps them get more views on Sci-Fi Tonight. Jada Parker took on Kendall Gray.
Yes, she did.
Good showcase for Jada Parker getting a win.
It was.
Who is Kendall Gray again?
She's Carly Bright's running buddy.
Okay. Yeah, I think we cracked it tonight. I think we cracked that you can't... They're trying to bundle together so many female talents that it's actually having a diminishing return on individuality in the NXT women's division.
That is a huge, huge thesis statement there, Glenn. Huge.
No, I'm saying that it's great that they're showcasing more women's wrestlers, but this tactic...
I didn't say you weren't saying that. That's a huge thesis.
I'm saying this tactic of let's have Kendall out there with Carly. Let's have this 3-on-3 match and pair them up. It's like it's... there's a quote from the Larry Sanders Show when they were trying to get Larry Sanders to co-host the People's Choice Awards with Joel Grey and Rita Moreno. And the quote was that as a host, you being paired with two other people takes away from your own individual specialness.
Wow.
So if you have a tag team, you know, and you have a tag team together and they have a look and they have a gimmick and something, that's good because you're getting the tag team over. But when you do these random pairings, I think you have to do more to stand out. And in credit to this video package that set up the six-woman tag, because you have Lola Vice, who's already established herself as a single star. You had Sol Ruka, who's been a breakout star. And then the smartest thing they did in the Zoom calls or whatever they're doing was that Carmen was just chilling at home and she had her katana right there by her side.
Yeah.
She shouldn't go anywhere without that katana.
Okay.
Does that that's how you identify her.
But does that make her character one-dimensional then if she has a prop?
I don't think so, because she's a very good wrestler. She cuts a good promo. She's got a very good look.
That's not a character, though. I'm saying her character. Is her character one-dimensional if she has a prop?
Is Tony D'Angelo's character one-dimensional?
I would say so, yeah. His prop is his accent.
I think in professional wrestling... Ooh, here we go.
Spencer Webb.
Spencer Webb wins her emotional... Carmen Petra is emotional support katana. that's brilliant. I would argue in professional wrestling, it is rare where we see a depth of character.
Interesting.
And what I mean by that is that there is something fully fleshed out with their unique characteristic that gets a storyline on its own that's compelling and fulfilling. It's why... The stuff with Tony D'Angelo, like whacking people, that's actually like, oh, good. They're actually using his character, which could be seen as one-dimensional, to advance storylines in a meaningful way. Chase Yu and the gambling scandal and the interference with Tony. The Chase Yu, Tony D'Angelo storyline is actually a perfect example of how you take character and use it to tell story with something that would be a one-dimensional gimmick. I love when they do that. But I would say that for the most part in wrestling, like... You have a character, you have a catchphrase, you have a piece of merchandise. You know, again, you're toyetic. Toys, by the way, the stories you make up with toys are all in your mind, Flobo. You know, you have the action figure and then it's on you to project from there. So I think Carmen with the katana, no, I don't think there's any more one-dimensional than anything else. But again, it stands out. She's a champion. She won that katana in judo.
That's not my issue. So like, you can have the katana and that be your thing, but when I think about dimensions of character, I go, okay, what makes what makes Carmen Petrovic laugh or upset? What does she stand for? What she can't stand? Until the Damian Priest storyline, I thought the most depth character was Gunther, because here's somebody that was face or heel or both, but he had a certain core moral value to defend the sanctity of the sport. You can work with that, heel or face. To me, that's a deep character until he threw it all away and just said, I just hate people who are poor, unlike me. So I worry when someone like Carmen Petrovic comes out with a sword and I go, that's great. The sword means you're the karate person or the martial arts person, but are you good, bad? Do you like things? Do you hate things? What's your favorite movie? Do you like to rollerblade? Something.
Her favorite video game is Daikatana. Your favorite wrestler's Katana Chance.
Fair enough. That answers all my questions. No further questions are.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? I don't know. What Ninja Turtle has the katana?
That'd be Leo.
Okay, that's your favorite Ninja Turtle.
Yes, too.
Okay. Well, so I think she should be like Belushi in the old SNL Samurai Deli sketch, and she should just chop everything that gets in her way.
So see, like, exactly. But then that's someone that has a job, that's someone that has a temperament, and they have a weapon. Carmen just has the weapon. Like, I don't know. Is she happy? Is she sad? Is she upset? Is she annoyed? Is she anxious? Something.
Football, I think you need to book an interview with Carmen Petrovich, and you could do 20 questions to flesh out this character.
Let me know. Look, those who watch me on these shows know I love Bailey, and I love peak Bailey. That's pandemic Bailey, because she was somebody who was easily annoyed. She would feud with Cole. She was totally self-serving. She thought she was the best person ever. These are character beats that you can use.
That was like Bailey level three. Like, Carmen's in NXT level one.
Okay, so you think about let's take the main roster out of the equation. Carmelo Hayes is somebody that is self-confident, definitely could tell is a product of sports culture, understands what it means to have the Mamba mentality, win, lose, or draw. You know, he drives himself to be better. It's not just him coming out with his sunglasses being like, sunglasses. And I think we're getting that with Cora Jade when she was around. We're getting this with
all Carmen. She needs is a catchphrase.
A catchphrase doesn't solve everything. Yeah. I mean, sometimes they don't work all the time. 619, you know?
Tony D doesn't have a catchphrase. He's more layered than that.
He has one of
Onion.
These.
Peeling back the layers.
I suppose. I'm just an old man hung out of cloud. I apologize.
So, JC Jane, Jasmine Nix, and Fallon Henley made their way down to the ring to take on Lola Vice, Carmen Petrovich, and Sol Ruka. Sol had wavy hair again this week.
Yep.
I think that this was a very good match. I was surprised with JC Jasmine and Fallon getting the win.
Me too.
But it was really good.
I'm surprised Lola Vice is now hanging out with the good guys.
Yeah, but you don't think after the match with Roxanne and even after the match with Shayna, I'm telling you, this woman is a babyface.
I mean, look, they have showed me that she is, so I guess I'll start cheering for her. But the motivation to become one came as just as quick as Fallon becoming a heel out of absolutely nowhere.
Even the way she was dancing to Soul's entrance music. Tonight. Yeah, Fallon as a heel has taken me a while to get used to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Jack Farmer's seen it since day one, since Fallon's a rancher. So he's understood. And the cow print fur coat. Oh, that's heelish upon heelish.
Yeah, I like it. She stands out.
Yeah, she does. Good match, but NXT needs women's tag team titles if we're going to keep doing all these pairings.
Do they?
I think so. Mm-hmm. It don't hurt.
It does.
It hurts.
They tried it.
Okay, what about a female Heritage Cup?
That's also a bad idea. If you can't get... as someone who loves the Heritage Cup, it pains my heart. It just weirdly on a vine to die. My broadcast colleagues are like, I don't know the rules. I'm Gunn Rubenstein. Look at me. And it sucks.
It's very accurate. Okay, so if the NQCC can win it... NQCC or Riz could ask to borrow it. I don't know why Riz would want to borrow it. If the NQCC can win the Heritage Cup, they could move it over to, what's her name? Why am I blanking on her name?
Adriana Rizzo.
No, the NQCC.
Ren Sinclair.
Ren Sinclair. They can move it over to Ren Sinclair to defend it. And then it kind of like the 24/7 title moved to the women for a bit. They can do that with the Heritage Cup. That might be fun.
Yeah, I agree. I like it.
And that's even more of a reason for the NQCC to diversify and let Ren into the group.
I guess.
So, championship match tonight. Roxanne Perez versus Thea Hale for the NXT Women's Championship. What did you think of this match?
Match of the night, hands down.
It was good. There weren't... This is my observation. I don't like that Roxanne only once did she give Thea a full 2.9 kick out. I don't like that Roxanne kept kicking out like right on the two.
Mm-hmm.
But with the submission moves and the rolling around, I found it a little difficult sometimes to figure out what was going on. But I thought the chaos made it feel really real. And I really thought Thea Hale might win this.
Yeah. I think this match proved again that Thea Hale is the most valuable talent on that roster right now. Roxanne Perez has been the champion since April, and she's went through Jordynne Grace. She's went through Lola Vice, but I never felt that Roxanne was in danger. I never felt that this match matters, like a combat matters, looking at the facials from Thea Hale. She went in all in. She made a good match, a great match. She is a treasure. Call her up if you want to. You've really put the show on another level.
I mean, I feel like Thea, in a perfect world, should have been the first North American women's champion.
I agree.
Maybe she should go for it now, but, and this is going to sound weird, but it helped Roxanne to be wrestling someone of a similar stature and a similar age. And the fact that these two young women put on such an amazing match together that was so intense, so fluid, so frantic, is a testament to both of their talents. But I think this might be the match that really elevates Roxanne. Her promo's been there, but I think that her being on equal footing with an opponent really showed just how great she is. And it gave us just a wonderful visual, because there was no contrast visually the way there is with some of her other opponents.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's weird when they, even with Jordynne Grace, it's weird to have Roxanne be the heel, like physically look like the heel underdog. That is a weird combination. I think with Thea, I think I would love to see her and Thea run this back, but I would love to see Thea win a title. She's had an amazing career in NXT. She's been the main character of Chase U, arguably one of the main characters of NXT. I don't think we ever got a satisfying payoff in her feud with JC Jane. I know she broke her nose, but still, they didn't get the big moment that I think a lot of us were invested in and wanted in that storyline. So, and Thea winning a championship, Chase U kind of needs that to, or Chase U needs to disband. We have to course correct and get some momentum behind Chase U, because the fact that their storylines are over for the most part, like, we need to have Thea as a North American champion and then be the hype crew. And as Julian's pointing out, youngest title match next in WWE history tonight. And then Ricky's pointing out that after NXT went off the air, Roxanne called out Julia and Stephanie to take her for a match for her title.
Are these people, Julia and Stephanie?
This is what worries me. As good as the women's division is now, and the fact that they're bundling the talents together as much as they are, airtime is about to get way more competitive if we bring in multiple talents at the top. It's going to be less oxygen for the developmental class, which is more reason why I think they may need to make Level Up a full-fledged show. Or figure out a way to utilize TNA's airtime more and mingle divisions. I don't know.
I think you're getting that anyway. I think NXT Level Up will probably have its own content deal soon, and TNA is going to be there. But the problem I have with the women's division, not to say I disagree with you necessarily, was that there's no one at the top. You have everyone in the mid-card hanging out, that North American title division, Jada Parker, Sol Ruka, Kalani Jordan. Everyone feels very North American, and it seems who is going to be the rogue of the month for Roxanne Perez. This one plugs in a huge gap. Please bring on Stephanie back here. Please bring on Julia to keep that division strong. Because really, after today, who's the number one contender for Roxanne Perez's championship?
I don't know. But I think when we get to the CW, things are going to heat up a lot. It's going to be this is going to be a very interesting transitional holding pattern for the next 10 weeks on NXT. My main note, Ricky's saying when Cora Jade returns, I would absolutely like to see her go after Roxanne for the title. But my main note is I do feel like they're sacrificing storyline a little bit in this holding pattern mode. I feel like the stories were hotter before Carmelo.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Great American Bash, I guess it gets a pass because it's theoretically blow off, but I'm with you.
So there you go. We will look back on this time as the era of NXTNA.
We will.
Yeah. Okay, Flobos at Flobo Boys. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Sure, you can rent all the Step Up movies digitally.
No, I'm fine. I'm totally fine.
It's good. It's like the Fast and the Furious series. But for
that's a cinematic classic. That is Universal Studios' most lucrative franchise ever. And they have the monsters. They have Jurassic Park. They have Jaws.
Well, because there's been like 10. Well, globally, it's their most lucrative franchise ever.
Yeah, opposed to what, universally? No, yes, it's the most lucrative franchise of all time.
The last one didn't make that much money in the U.S.
It like, didn't.
Yeah.
So it's the point where you're going to get spinoffs and prequels and more cartoons. You're going to get everything.
I can't deal with 3D Vin Diesel. It's nightmare fuel. Okay, everybody, have a great week. Tomorrow night, Dynamite, and be sure to tune in after SummerSlam on Saturday. Flobo, George, breaking it all down for you. Everybody, be sure to like, share, subscribe. Catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.